Hello, champion. It's Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the show. Hey, we got a Saturday story coming up with a gentleman I met at one of my live events in Orlando, summer of 2017. His name's Armin Shafi, and it's a really cool story. So I want you to really zero in on a couple things, decisions and intention, okay? When you are specifically intent and you set that intention to do what it is that you really want to do, i.e. go for your very own Saturday, watch as you take specific action towards that. What happens? That's Armin's story. So this is a really cool interview. I want you to pay attention because it'll inspire you. Everybody who listens to my podcast wants to figure out, hey, how do I get to just whatever level I'm at? I want to go push past that level, whatever it is, whether you're going from beginner to intermediate, intermediate to expert, and beyond. It's about making a decision. And then watch what Armin talks about. I mean, look, the guy booked his first event within the last 8 months without having any experience prior to that. Now he's connected with all these different people. Just check this interview out, and I think you're really going to like it. All right, so without further ado, here's that intro you love so much.
Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey everyone, it's Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the number one motivational podcast on the planet, the Every Day is Saturday podcast. We've got another Saturday story. And whenever we have a Saturday story, it's, think about this. We're hanging out, coffee shop, me and the guest, and you're kind of listening in to how they start their business. Why did they start a business? What gives them the audacity to think that they can make every day Saturday and go monetize their passion? And so when I speak at events, I meet individuals, and a lot of them come on this show because I know them already. I've vetted them, and I trust that they're going to bring you guys great content. And I've got Armin Shafi with me here today. I'm going to bring him out in just a second. Met Armin in Orlando back at the end of the summertime in 2017, when I spoke at an event down there. And Armin just launched his own podcast called Clear Talk. We'll chat about that in a little bit as well. But hey, Armin, are you with me, buddy?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Armin, where do you call home, by the way?
Toronto, Canada. That's where I live.
What a beautiful city, man. I was born and raised around Buffalo, New York. So I love
Toronto
in the wintertime. No, thank you.
Right. No. I was going to say it's quite cold here. I don't think if I had to choose between a beach and Toronto, it'd probably be somewhere on a beach.
Yeah. So what do you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the mindset behind Armin, what makes you tick in running a successful entrepreneurial business. But give me an idea. What do you do? What's an average day looks like in the life of Armin Shafi?
A day in the life of Armin Shafi, I've never been asked that question. Actually, pretty interesting to think about it, as I think. It would be tons of people. Like, I have a lot of conversations. I love conversations. Like, I like talking to people. I love people. I think a world or, a reality where I'm really rich and successful, but no one's around me, it would be very depressing. So my, like, highest value system in life is socializing people and respect amongst those people. So a day in the life would be just back-to-back, like, meetings or conversations. A lot of marketing online. And by marketing, I mean having conversations with people, building relationships, building rapport, adding value. I like doing Facebook Lives on my Facebook. I like to put out posts that make people think and get people engaged. And then usually I'm speaking at an event, or I'm traveling almost every month now, at least once a month to a different country or a different city for a course. So I'm becoming an avid student to come learn from people like you, right, Sam? So that's how I met you at the event. And I'm flying to Singapore, at the end, in the beginning of December, to just go learn a whole 5-day speaker series and training with like top speakers. So day in the life of me, it's pretty much just all the time going. And then I have one day of the week where I'm supposed to just do nothing, which is Sunday. I'm supposed to. I usually end up doing just fun stuff, either going to an event where other people are speaking and I'm a guest and I just have fun with everyone and socialize and network. Or I like to like read. You know, I want to read or kind of lay back and not have to do any business talk, right? So it's kind of like my month or day to day, how my life looks.
I can tell by that description you have no kids.
No, I don't. No, not at all. Wait. I'll say this though. I may not have kids, but I'm definitely like a father figure to a lot of people in my life, which is super weird because I'm really young. But it's because I'm holding the strength of like, I have to still guide people out of their heads and into their hearts. So I don't have kids. No, I don't have the responsibility, but I definitely feel like a father.
No, I was saying because you're talking about traveling to Singapore and you try to do this and that and on Sunday. Yeah. And now I'm like, dude, give me 1/10 of that going on, you know, but that's funny. Well, so take me back. I mean, that's really interesting that you got all that going on, which sounds exciting. You know, it sounds to me like that is not boring. That's not going to a job, a nine to five every day. But you're a young guy. How was it that you at a young age caught on to, I want to monetize my passion. I want to be free. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to speak from stage. Where was it? At what time of your life did it click to say, you know, probably not the guy that's going to have the 9-to-5 job?
Right. Cool question. The moment I decided that like working for someone else, working in a job, not that there's anything wrong with that, by the way. I think that's even,
you can say
no,
it.
It's not at all.
Sucks.
Well, I mean, it does. I mean, no, it does suck you in an environment where it's not fun and it's not a safe space. Yeah. There's quite several companies in the world that have created very good safe spaces for their employees, and their employees are very happy, right? It's just it's an argument of a matter of like perspective. But yeah, to me, the moment I decided, I've actually only had one real job in my entire life. I worked at Fairweather, which was also a combination of Stockholm, which is men's and women's clothing, and it was me and 7 girls. Right. My manager was a girl and there were 6 employees, girls. You think it would be a fun time, but it was not that fun of a time. It was highly stressful. I mean, women are great to work with. Like, they're very intelligent, but when you're the only guy there, they really take advantage. So it was a character building, 4 months of my life. I just moved to a whole new city. So I wanted to get a job, not because I needed the money, but because I used to DJ, right? So I would make like $300 in a night and it was fun for me. So I didn't really need money. I had no expenses, but I wanted to do something. And I went and got this job and I lasted about 4 months. I remember one day specifically, I sold $1,200 worth of clothing, of suits. And I was just good, natural at it. And the girl next to me, which was working with me that same day, sold $40 worth of clothing. And we both had an 8-hour shift. And I remember that I got a check, you know, for $74 after tax or whatever for the day. And I thought, I just paid like 3 months of my salary, like of my wage in one day. I made this company. So I kind of, you know, it got me questioning if it's a smart way to make money. I thought, you know, I just got like less than 10% of what I made these people. So I'm like, maybe this isn't the best place to go, because they're not paying me on production or skill. They're paying me on just my time there. So I'm like, really, a monkey could be there and they would pay the same wage. Like, it's, you know, not to be offensive to anyone, but it's like, they don't really care about your efficiency. They care about your time there. So that was like the first like red flag. It lasted 4 months until I realized, maybe a job isn't for me, because it's limiting me and me specifically, my personality, on what I could do. And I actually got introduced to network marketing. That was like the beginning of my idea of what entrepreneurship is. And I went on a whole journey of just trying things and learning about what business is and even this entire world. I didn't know what it was. I was 17 at the time when I had that job. And when I transitioned out, it was pivotal in my life. In fact, I feel like now when I look back, when I got that job only to one day be working the day that the person who showed me network marketing showed up at my store and was one of my customers. So it was just a divine appointment. I was just only supposed to get that job to learn a lesson and then, you know, like value my money, and then run into this guy who showed me network marketing that changed everything for me.
You know, that's fascinating. I think every entrepreneur that I know has some sort of network marketing strand of DNA in their background, myself included. You
know, yeah.
Either tried it, you've been involved in it, you've purchased it, but more often than not, a lot of entrepreneurs, especially online entrepreneurs, have tried MLM and network marketing. That's why I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that a lot of the people who pitch it the wrong way give it a really bad name. Like, hey, how would you like to get rich tonight? Yeah. Join my team. I'm looking to build, and the tidal wave of money coming your way and all that great stuff. But when you think about that, and then now you're transitioning, you're training speakers. You're working with a buddy of mine, James McNeil, is a great guy up in Canada as well. I've met James at a number of events as well. Les, cool. and the likes. How did you get involved in specifically, let's talk about speaking for now, and then I want to move to online marketing, but speaking intrigues me. So how did you get introduced and involved in that area?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I wanted to say, when I heard your story about how you got into speaking, it totally inspired me, motivated me, and it was one of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my life. Really funny as well. So thank you for that. If I know, I'm sure your audience has heard your story, but my story is so I started this company last year, and it was a marketing, sales and marketing company, and then I worked with $2 million companies for branding to millennials, because I was really good at Instagram branding and Facebook branding and all that stuff. So I just kind of did that, and I was good at it, and I was good at sales. I've been in sales for like 6-7 years now. I've done everything, you know, network marketing, door-to-door, telecenter, sales, like anything you can think of. And I didn't have a passion for it. I didn't really care, but I was my own boss. I was all these things. And then I got email marketed by Tony Robbins' team. I was just one of the people on their hundreds of thousands of people on their list. And I just got this email that I usually archive, and I decided to just open it. And it says UPW, you know, Unleash the Power Within is coming up in San Jose. And the first thing I thought was different country. I don't think I'll go because I have to travel. And then I'm like, it's probably expensive. And I've never at that point, this was last year, this month, Sam, last year, this month. Wow. It was like my 1 year anniversary, just like a week ago. And it was November 9th of 2016. And I just sat there, I'm reading through the emails talking about this incredible event. So I decided to just call the number. I call the number. The girl who picks up, the sales representative that picks up, her name is Cynthia Savage. Savage.
Nice.
I'm like, I'm sold. Your name is great. I can't do it. Like, I can't. And I talked to her, and I have never invested into my own education ever. I learned from YouTube and books, and even books I hated reading, but I learned from YouTube a lot and just people. And I guess I was afraid to put my money where my mouth is when it came to me. That's what I realized now. And she sold me. She sold me on, I think, $1,100 ticket, which was American. So in Canadian, that's ridiculous, to just go and be on the sidelines of the event with 11,000 other people. And I don't know how it happened, but we went on a monthly payment plan, and I paid off everything. And it cost me about $2,000 for the whole trip to go with the flight and everything, all that. And so I spent $2,000 for this weekend that I've never done this. But I know Tony has changed my life indirectly because I've watched so many of his stuff online. Long story short, I go to this 4-day event, and by the third day, I've walked over fire. I've hugged strangers I've never met. I've cried my eyes out like a little kid. And I'm thinking, holy crap, you know, there's so much more inside of me that I never knew that I could work with. And watching him, there was this one specific moment where I decided I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, like until I die. It was like a serious, like, marriage with myself. And it was when he was doing this meditation part of his seminar. And everybody was just screaming out of joy, you know, and they're blasting this beautiful song that he loves to play at every one of his events. And I look down at the stage, and he's standing there. This guy's 56 or 57 years old on stage. He has his beautiful wife. He's traveling all over the world. He's worth $500 million. He does $5 billion in revenue. Like, I studied him. I did a report on him last year, and just because I wanted to learn more about him. And I'm like, this guy is standing there, 57, crying out of gratitude with 11,000 people in the stadium. I'm like, this is a cinematic moment in real life. This right here is incredible. This is surreal. And I looked and I saw myself at 57 on that stage. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I don't even care what it takes. I don't care what I'm doing now. I cut everything off in my mind. All the fear, none of it. The pleasure of knowing that I can manifest that for myself was far greater than any fear that could hold me back. And thus I cut the string from everything I was.
So what'd you do? I mean, so you left that event, which I've heard great things from Tony's events as far as people that have been there and literally transformed their life, as well as watching the Netflix "I'm Not Your Guru." I mean, given the insight.
Yeah, that one.
That is a good. So you come home from Tony's event in San Jose, UPW, and you say, all right, I want to be that guy on stage at 56, just pouring with gratitude, influencing tens of people. Armin, there's been a million people had that same vision. Very few.
Yeah, of course.
Very few have made that a reality. Give us, because we don't have time to go into the whole, like, step by step by step, but give us just one or two great salient points that if somebody else wanted to, even if they didn't want to manifest a speaking career, what did you do inside of your mind, number one, and what specific action step did you take that was congruent with that thought to march you towards this speaking career that did not exist a year ago?
Yes. Beautiful question. And if anyone wants the in-depth analysis version of how I did it, please, like, I guess we'll see how they can contact me after, like, on Facebook. I'd love to have conversations.
Great quote. How can somebody connect with you online? Where would they go if they want?
If you go to Facebook, my name is Armin Shafee, ArminShafee, two E's. Just find me on Facebook. I'm sure you'll see me. I have a picture of me on a stage. And if not, it's facebook.com/ I think Armin Shafee one, I think, because I also have a Facebook page that's Armin Shafee. So I have to put a one next to one of them. So I can't use the same URL, but anyways, if you want, you can share a conversation with me, like over a Facebook call or something. But to answer this as quick as possible for you through step-by-step, beautiful question. I think this will help a lot of people. The first thing I did without noticing is that I saw myself there. Mm. It was this divine energetic pull towards this thing that was not real yet, but it was in my mind. And because it was such an intense experience, and what I teach in one of the seminars I have called Reborn, because I almost died at the age of 18, and just I took that concept and I thought I can teach a lot of people things that I learned from almost dying. When you almost die, you become very present and you learn a very different side of your mind and your heart. So when I took that and I created a 1-day program out of it, and I wanted to serve people like Tony. So what I did is in Reborn, I talk about this. I say there's two experiences that change a human psyche. One of them is traumatic experiences. Unfortunately, we don't want those, but they happen sometimes. And other ones are exuberant, intense experiences. So those experiences you can create. And what I did when I went to Tony's event is he created a space where all of us could have that. Now, some people could have been sitting next to me and had the opposite reaction and thought this guy is, you know, worth whatever, you know, he doesn't really know what he's doing. But I'm going to sit there and I decided I want to create this experience I'll never forget. So in my body, I felt so much intensity of emotion that when I saw myself on the stage in my head, it was as real as it could be. And thus, because I saw it so clearly, when I came back, that image was it was stuck in my mind. I couldn't get rid of it. And for that reason, everything I did, I made sure the feeling, and this is very, like in-depth, like, you have to be very specific in understanding how to monitor this, the gut feeling thing. It's so hard to explain it, but you inside of you, your gut knows that whatever you're just about to do, whether it's going to either move you closer or move you away from that thing you're seeing in your head. So when I came back, the first thing I did is I'm like, I just got to learn everything I possibly can about what he was teaching at a seminar. And I later learned all of the sciences that he uses. And I pretty much took all of his courses just to learn everything about his influence and his mind and all the techniques he does. So then first I literally did this 18 hours a day. I'm not even kidding. 14 to 18 hours a day for the next month and a half until January when my first seminar was. All I did every day was learn and consume all of his content, all of it, all of his sciences and everything and all the people he learned from. So I learned all the sciences of how to use the mind, how to break patterns, how to do everything. And because I got obsessed with it, because all I kept seeing in my head is me being that person I saw, what was driving me was the picture I saw and the image I saw under my head. The actions were making me feel better every day. So I had unlimited energy. I was sleeping at 3-4 in the morning, waking up at like 7 or 8, getting up with like energy. And I did that for a month and a half straight. It was actually quite dangerous if you look at it. I was losing weight. I wasn't eating food much. But I was obsessed. I was obsessed like no other. It says that in the Law of Success as well. But I read that before. But for the first time, I actually felt it. I experienced it. So I was so obsessed with the picture in my head. And it was creating so much emotion that I had this unlimited drive to just keep learning. And once I learned enough, I threw myself on the line. The third thing I did was I just risked it. And I had this first event and I was lucky. I manifested miracles for people to come and help me fill my first event with 50 people for free. And I did this in front of a whole new audience of people. I could have really screwed up and, you know, I could have. It was really scary to think it's my first time doing an event like this. It was a 7-hour seminar, Sam. Everyone's like, no, do a 1-hour seminar. It's your first one. I'm like, yeah. I'm modeling a guy who does 4 days and makes you walk on fire. I don't think I'm doing 1 hour. So I did a 7-hour seminar and people were walking away like, I've never been able to sit for 3 hours in a seminar with you. I just didn't feel anything. It was incredible. And thus, because after that first experience I had, where at my first seminar, I was privileged to get a standing ovation. I didn't ask for it. They just stood up to like, it's your first one. Holy crap. And they stood up. I never, ever looked back. I'm like, now I have the confidence I need to move forward and keep creating. I got over myself. I got over myself and I committed and married to a bigger purpose. And that's what I got pulled to. It was the first step was seeing it. Second step was obsession. And the third step was putting it on the line. Like I did it. I put myself in a position where I couldn't fail. 7-hour seminar. You can't really mess up. So.
And how many people showed up, Armin?
So I had 50 people in that seminar. I only knew about 7 of them. So it was a brand new crowd.
The other 43 people there.
So what it really happened, I'm in an Eventbrite, obviously. I'm a marketer, right? So I got a lot of people to come help me bring their friends. But the determining factor of it was I met this woman at an event that it's another long story. Like, I hope people can actually message me so I can share it to them, because I love sharing it. I actually made a Facebook Live about what happened just 2 days ago about how this happened. But I went to an event. I got called on a stage by accident. I shared my vision of having a 100-person seminar in 2017. And this was a couple weeks after the event for Tony Robbins. And this woman came out and she's like, I'll help you do it. And she just pretty much gave herself to me to help. Like, she just dedicated her work and her time. And she filled the event. She was friends with tons of people. And she brought 40 or so plus people into the event. And I didn't know any of them.
Wow.
It's a miracle. It's really miraculous.
So here's the message I get from that. When you step out in faith, then things begin to conspire.
Yes.
Help you realize what... Because a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. You agree with that statement?
Exactly. Yes.
So you trusted. This is fascinating to me because you came from Toronto to San Jose. That is a long trip, okay? That's a long flight. It's crossing the country. It's going east coast to west coast. Long, expensive. You're out $2,000. Most people wouldn't spend $200 to go change their lives. Nobody needs it. You're out $2,000. You go to Tony's event. I know those events go well past midnight. Nobody sleeps, especially Tony.
Yep.
And then you come back. You're on fire. You say, I'm gonna set the intention that I'm gonna now be a speaker. And on top of everything, we haven't even touched everything else. That's why you gotta connect with Armin, because it's Armin Shafi, ArminShafe. Check him out on Facebook, because I met Armin at my event I spoke at in Orlando. Immediately stood out as a guy who's got it going on. I didn't tell you this, Armin, but when you and I met, you had purchased my podcasting course, but even above that, I just noticed you because you were engaged while I was speaking. After I spoke, you came up and contacted me and connected with me then. Even if you didn't buy the course, it didn't matter. You still would have connected with me. I'm positive of that. That's just the personality. Like, you're a sponge for knowledge. So you come back from Tony's event, you set the intention. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to be a speaker. I'm going to be on stage. Then, look, let me tell you something, man. As a guy that puts on my own events as well, putting 50 people in a room is no easy task. No easy task at all, okay? So you get 50 people at your own event. You're going to Singapore to learn, right? You're going to learn more about speaking. Is that what that trip is about?
Yeah. It's a 5-day intensive program with, like, really, like, top speakers from Success Resources.
Yep. And I know you're working with James. James has been on stages all around the world, South Africa, Australia, all over North America with Les Brown, Bob Barker, everybody. He's a who's who. I've been on speakers. So you're connected with him. You're working with him, the guru builders. All of this, all of this in the past 12 months, this has happened or no? Has it been longer?
Yeah, I would say the majority of it happened in 8 months between really what my third seminar is what made me, like, established as I'm good at what I do and I'm credible. And that was in April 29th. So between then and like August or so, September, which was my last Elite Speakers Academy, that was like the span, which was about 7-8 months of like pure abundance, pure like avalanches of abundance of people and connections and money and just all the success. And it didn't faze me. The biggest thing was it didn't really change who I was. It just amplified who I was. And I had these levels of like plateau where I would go up and I'd be like, oh my God, I just got so much more, you know, wealth. And then I'd sit there and be like, whoa, this is weird because I'm not used to it. And I would have friends who made way more money than I could even imagine. And they would come and just really, you know, nudge me a little and be like, yeah, wake up. You got to get back to work. You know, let's move forward. The people out there are waiting for you. You got to help them out. And I think proximity really helped me ground myself as well. But yeah, it's been a short, like, 12 months. I guess under a year, this has all happened. That one seminar.
Why has the pleasure, and let me ask you this, because we'll wind it up. And go ahead and connect with Armin Shafi on Facebook. He's got and I'm going to put this podcast out on iTunes. Obviously, that's how people are going to hear about you as well. But I find this fascinating because this really is ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And I don't mean ordinary average. I just mean you run into these people at events, and then you let them go and you don't ask them, how do they do it? Like, I'm interrogating Armin right now as a hostage.
Yeah.
This is good stuff, man. This is the stuff that you don't hear in every day because most people are out there just selling, and they don't get behind the mindset of it. But why, Why weren't you fearful of spending $2,000 to go travel to an event thinking it could be the biggest waste of money of your life?
So this is a very good question, because what it challenges for the ordinary human being, which is like me, you, and everyone listening to this, it challenges their decision-making muscle. And your decision-making muscle only gets stronger when you make choices back-to-back that are uncomfortable, because your willpower comes over and you're able to do things that you might not like, but you know it's good for you. And for some reason, Sam, when I saw and I talked to Cynthia on the phone about going to this event, my question was not, you know, what's the worst that could happen if I go? That is a question I asked, by the way, which helped me get over the fear of what could happen. Because if I think of the worst case scenario, which in my head was, I spent all this money, I go there, it's a waste of my money, it's completely a scam, and, you know, and I have a horrible time, and, you know, my luggage gets lost on the way back. I'm like, okay, I could survive. I won't die if that happens. So thus, I get the fear of, like, the worst thing happening out of my mind, because I just think of it, I'm like, I'm prepared. I know it could happen. But what I asked myself is, what could happen in the positive if I went? What could I lose out on if I didn't go? And I hadn't spoken properly at any event other than like a church, I think a month before it, because I was trying to get into speaking. And this was like, I'm like, let me go for just an extra boost of motivation. That's what I went for, really. But Tony has a way of doing things, and you really don't know until you experience him what he can do for you. And the work we did there opened it up for me. My decision to go and risk it was kind of like a, what's the worst that could happen, followed by a, what could happen if I went? Like, you know, and it was mixed with, I wanted to travel. I really wanted to just leave. Like, I was bored.
That fear is so big, man. It just, there's no,
it is, yeah.
Most people won't do that, Armin. They won't do that, you know?
Well, I can tell you what you can do. Because I wasn't always that person. It took me like a long time before, you know, I could have done it earlier, but I didn't. The first thing you can do just to start practicing the muscle of doing things that are uncomfortable, I take a cold shower every morning, every single morning for the past 4 years now.
Cold shower.
What I do is I literally jump under cold water when I start my shower, and then I turn it warm to wash myself, and then I turn it cold again at the end. Now, I do a bunch of other different sciences to integrate belief systems into my body. Like, I do proclamations and incantations, but just the choice to turn it cold or even mildly cold will start to build this muscle of, I will do something even if it doesn't feel good now, because after you'll feel accomplished. That's the first thing you could do. And I've been doing that for years before I made that choice. So really it was like, it's just cold water. If I go and I lose money, and I'm like, it's just cold water. That's how I think of it. And that's like, it's a perspective. You got to perceptually pivot from the belief or the fear. But you got to start doing things that are uncomfortable. If you can't just walk up to someone and say hi out of nowhere and not care if you look like an idiot or look embarrassed, then life is going to be very short-lived and very, it's not going to be intentional or intense in emotion. And honestly, emotions and the intensity of your emotion is the quality of your life overall. So,
isn't that the truth, man? A couple things I just took away from that, which I love. Number one is from front to back here is life is a series of uncomfortable decisions where if you've never worked that muscle to get yourself uncomfortable, like going up to speak to someone, if you're an introvert or starting your own event or going to an event, then it is going to be short-lived because you won't have any experience making those types of decisions to see just how that self-talk where, you know, we're just the collections of thoughts in our mind. And this is something I'd love people to listen to this other podcast. Oprah Winfrey just interviewed on her Super Soul podcast, which I'm a big fan of. Harvard scientist, a neurological doctor, this lady,
yep,
who literally lost her, she had a stroke. And so she lost she had a right side stroke, lost all her memory, and she said it was the greatest thing. It was called a stroke of insight, that losing,
wow,
all of her negative self-talk taught her that now she can choose which thoughts now that come, but she's completely healed after it took about 6 years, but now she chooses which thoughts that she allows herself to give energy to, because
that's awesome.
She lost every thought in her brain, every one of them. She didn't even know who her mom was. And so that is amazing now that you're saying the same thing, is that, look, you can choose to give energy to something and make it feel uncomfortable, or just go do it. And I love, it's just cold water. I mean, when you're going and when you're thinking about making a tough decision, just say what Armin said, it's just cold water. I love that, dude.
It's cold water, baby.
It takes you now right back to, it's almost like an incantation of itself. It takes you back to that visual of, It's just cold water. And when you treat it like that, and you take the money and the credit card and the 18% payment, and I got to buy a hotel while I'm there and eat food and all that stuff, and Tony's probably going to try to sell me one of his courses. You know, because we all know you're going there to be sold as well. That's fine. Tony's allowed to sell. He's allowed to make 30% profit at a seminar. He's worked his ass off over the past 40 years. So, you know, but most people have that talk in their mind. I can't go for all those reasons. Yet you're saying, hey, it's just cold water. It's awesome.
Yeah, I developed that mindset just from jumping under cold water, which funnily enough, I started doing because I think I listened to a Tony Robbins YouTube video like when I was 17, 18. So here I am like years later, and I'm about to go to one of his events. And the one thing that he indirectly changed my life with built the muscle that made me make the choice to go see him. So there's so many factors to it. I think the ultimate message here is live your life with intention. At the very least, have clarity, which is why I created the podcast Clear Talk. Have clarity in what you are, who you are, what you want. And if you don't know, because most people don't, it's hard, man. It's really hard. You're sitting there like, well, I don't know. There's 100 million different options of who I can be, what I can do, what I might love. And you just got to start with the first one. My entire philosophy is just do something. Like, it doesn't even matter if it sucks. Just do it, because then you've created motion and energy. You've done it. Even if, let's just say you become an accountant, at least decide to be one, go through it. And halfway through, you might be like, this really sucks. I didn't want to do this, but at least you did something.
At least you did it.
Right? It's,
you did it.
It's better than doing nothing. Yeah.
You stood for something, even if it stood for being the most abject failure in the history of the universe.
Exactly.
Good. And you try, because a million years from now, man, nobody is going to remember anything that you even tried to do and failed. And better yet, that you might do something that's going to change the world as we know it, and people will remember that legacy. But Armin, this has been wild, man. I haven't talked to you since I met you in Orlando in August, and I was only down there for one day, and it was really a pleasure to meet you, because the energy that you brought, not only to that, but through the podcast training, you were so engaged. I can just tell that you're on to something really huge. And for people listening to this podcast, the Everyday Saturday podcast, make sure you connect with Armin. It's ArminSHAFEE on Facebook. Just type that into Facebook. You'll find him. His podcast is on iTunes, called Clear Talk, the number one show for entrepreneurs who need clarity. And Armin will help you understand from a very practical level. I mean, this podcast was not schmaltzy or woo-woo or new wave or anything like that. Very clear. I mean, we just talked about one decision Armin made. I mean, probably made 50 in the last year that have changed his life for the last 5 years. So,
absolutely.
Armin, I really appreciate your time, man. It was a pleasure meeting you in Orlando at the live event. It was a pleasure getting to know you, and I look forward to staying in touch, man. This is a great interview.
Yeah, man. And I want to thank you so much. Like, it's such an honor. You have no idea. Such an honor to be on this this interview with you. It's honestly, like, it's going to go down in history. I'm going to listen to this in the future just so I can go back and be like, whoa, I was on an interview with Sam, and I'm sure we'll do more things in the future. And if anyone else wants to even learn more about me and they don't want to really add me on Facebook, you can just go to my website. It's my full name.com, just arminshaffy.com. And there's a lot of stuff there about what I do and all that cool stuff as well. So I really, by the way, hope that, you know, even if one person from this podcast adds me on Facebook and we talk and says, hey, I know you from Sam's podcast, it's going to make my entire month. Like, I'm just going to be like incredibly grateful, because I'm going to have a new conversation, new relationship in my life. So thanks again, Sam, for the opportunity. I'm truly honored.
So make sure you tell Armin you heard him on the Everyday Saturday podcast when he and I were talking a lot about it, because it would mean a lot to Armin, and it would show that connection as well, that you were listening to the podcast, you were engaged, you set the intention, you reached out, and who knows, you could become a client of Armin's and at the very least be inspired by what he has done just in this past 12 months. Armin, it was amazing. Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Much love, brother.
All right, everybody, it's Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Have the best day ever!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.